We get to Kyrie Irving coming up in 20 minutes. We'll go off the beaten path in 40. Now it's time to get to the fan focus. A rare leadoff appearance for the midday show. Yes, Baskin and Phelps leading us off tonight. And it was Jeff Phelps talking about Donovan Mitchell. Here we go.
I think the Cavs are in a little different position than they've been in a while. And I think they have kind of joined that pack of teams that it's like, okay, let's see what we can do and let's get to the postseason and then we can make our run. You know, you want, I think, numerical proof that Donovan Mitchell has some kind of an issue that he's been dealing with and it slowed him down. He has scored more than 16 points in just one of his last six games. And this is a guy who was averaging like 29 points a game. He's now at 27. So last night he was tossed. You know, he had only 6 points. He was having a tough night. He was 2 of 11. But in the previous games, 16, 11, 24, 11, and 14. And that's, you know, he's put up much bigger scoring nights than that. So if he has to sit, I'd sit him for a week. Not with suspension. Let him get healthy.
My sports radio side of my brain is it's clashing with my gambling side of the brain. My gambling side of the brain says, oh, I need to fade Donovan Mitchell moving forward, don't I? That's a lot of really good points by Jeff. Like, he's not looking as good. We haven't really been able to say exactly why outside of, I guess it's just the injury that continues to slow him down. But, yeah, gambling brain. Going ping, 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 ping. We need to pay attention here. Bet unders on Donovan Mitchell for a little bit. Now, the sports radio side of me says he was objectively awful before he got tossed yesterday. And I see it came out today, $20,000 fine. That's about right. Buying him some cash. No need to miss any games. Nothing like that. Missing games, especially when Dylan Brooks only got one game suspension, would have been criminal. That would have been a bad job by the NBA. You get kicked in the chandelier, you get to throw a basketball at somebody. That's just how life works, okay? It's Rules to Live by Jonathan Peterlin. You get kicked in the chandelier, you get to throw a basketball at somebody. I am worried about Donovan moving forward, though. I'm not worried about it impeding the Cavs. Part of why we got Donovan and why I felt good about getting Donovan was that if an injury happened to one of the big three outside of Donovan, you'd be okay. Because last year, the wheels fell off the bus when one of them got injured. This year, with Donovan out, or not playing as well as he typically can, we should still be okay if Allen, Mobley, Garland are able to do what they're able to do. No Ken this morning. It was G. Bush in with Lima. The two of them talked about cookouts.
When you guys are saying that you're having a cookout, what does that denote? Is that more of a finger food, or do you guys have meats? Do you have a platter?
It seems like everybody's got the meat and cheese board now. Seems like that's standard. And, you know, everybody gets their grubby hands on that stuff. And, yeah, they'll put out the forks, and the people are just grabbing.
Okay. You know, so if I come to one of these, you know, area cookouts.
A block party?
No. There won't be any speakers outside.
No.
This is a small
Garrett,
gathering.
We still call it a block party.
Okay.
So there's a lot of educating going on right here.
It's just not. They didn't make movies about it in the 90s.
You know, should I eat before I come to one of y'all's spot? Because I don't know if y'all got the same type of attitudes or ideas of what I got when I go to your house.
You know what, Garrett? Now, just listening to this conversation, I'm going to have to invite Garrett over for the baptism. Because that'll be the next. Or the 1 year. It might be. I'm not sure. It might have to be the 1 year old party.
Yeah.
We said we were doing Taco Bella for Isabella. You got to have a theme. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's got to be a theme.
That's
how we do it in suburbia.
Y'all have themes?
Yeah. Yeah. Every party, every 1 year party. Oh, and come on. You've been to these parties. Haven't you seen themes?
What are you talking about? I have 14 kids.
So, and when you go to a theme party, is it the idea and is it the expectation that I reciprocate a theme party for you and your tagline?
No. Now, I think that's more the kids.
No, but you better have your sombrero picked out and show up in
no,
that.
No, we are not going to stand for cultural appropriation. That's offensive to many.
I'll pull up. I like themes. It's Halloween.
Right.
It's Halloween. That's why I like theme parties, too. It's basically Halloween. Never put it together until I was in college, and I was like, wait, Why do we always dress up everywhere we go into these different themes? It's like, oh, it's basically Halloween over and over and over again. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, great. And while they're talking, by the way, about the themes. So if my baby girl is expected to be born on, again, C-section, February 16th is what we're planning right now. It might change, not the date on that, but you know, you can't predict life anyway. If today is 2-3-23, and we call that Michael Jordan Day, which is kind of offensive to LeBron James, but that's a different point for a different time. 2 of 16? 2-1-6? Happy Cleveland Day? I'm going to have a Cleveland-themed number one birthday party, right? Like, again, the kid's not even born yet, so I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I'm going to have a Cleveland-themed first birthday party. No Taco Bella for me. Nothing with the name. It'll be Cleveland themed. What is a Cleveland themed birthday party? What's involved in that? Like, does Tristan Thompson pop out of a cake? How do we have a Cleveland themed birthday party? I don't know. I'll workshop it. We'll figure it out. Let's stay with the guys in the morning. Lima and G. Bush on Joe Woods.
Did you see who was interviewing with the Saints yesterday?
Boy, I tell you.
Joe Woods.
I tell you.
So I said this year. I said, guys, if Kevin Stefanski were to lose his job tomorrow, I do not think he would get a head coaching interview yet. He would be one of the highly coveted OCs because I think that's what the league thinks of Kevin Stefanski. You could be a great offensive coordinator. He would get a job ASAP. Does anybody disagree?
I don't agree. I don't disagree with that.
Okay. He would. I said, if Joe Woods were out of a job tomorrow, I don't think he's going to be able to get a DC job. Wrong. He might be able to get this Saints job. And now, there's a relationship there.
And I know why.
Okay, I'm all ears. You got a minute.
yeah, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Rooney Rule. It has to do with the fraternity. Joe Woods was here. He was a good soldier. He never spoke out of turn.
Never did.
Never said anything about Stefanski. And, by the way, he had the perfect demeanor. He was just like, hey, I'm the guy just trying my best. That now you're in the fraternity. Now they say it's not about really what you know. It's like, okay, I can trust that guy. And more than anything, when you're a coordinator, you're looking for a good and loyal soldier. When the ship is going down, are you going to cause a mutiny or are you going to say, I stick behind my coach? And if you could do that, you could coach anywhere in this country.
So immediately I go to the Saints Reddit boards. I go to see what they're saying. And they're all like, look at that Browns defense second half of the year. Look at what they did second half of the year. Look at the numbers.
How they turned it around. And, you know, look at Clowney. He said,
And you know what they said? They're like, where's the talent? There's no talent on that defense, like, except for Myles Garrett. You had Jadeveon Clowney, who was mailing it in. Isn't it funny how we do this with players, with coaches? Like, the Saints Reddit boards were all telling a different story than what we were hearing on the radio show.
That selective morality is great. It's beautiful.
That's what I've said the entire time. First off, I disagree. I agree with the Kevin Stefanski part. Like, I agree with that 100%. I think the league views him as an offensive coordinator. If he didn't have the Browns coaching job, if he got fired tomorrow, he would be viewed as an OC somewhere else. If I was Joe Woods' agent, I could do this. I could go on to, and I deleted Reddit a few weeks back or so. Maybe not that long ago. Very recently, I deleted Reddit. I learned it's just the comment section of life. It makes no sense. The whole app is kind of stupid if we're being honest about it. Somebody posts something at the very top, and then it's just comments. And the only reason why you go on is to check the comments. I don't check comment sections in any articles I ever read. Why would I want to live on an app that is just the comment section of life? So I deleted it. I got rid of it. I realized how dumb it was. But I could go on to a Saints Reddit board, and I could 100% convince them that Joe Woods is the guy for the job. And how I would do it is what I told you guys when he left. I said, if I was his agent, I would talk about the year with Von Miller, where Von Miller had his second highest sack total at 14, and then I'd talk about Myles Garrett this past year, where he once again had 16 sacks in the season, and I would dub myself the defensive end whisperer. That's what I would do. I would call myself the defensive end whisperer, and I would say, I can get your defensive end to play the best football he's ever played. I did it here, and I did it here. I did it with Miles. I did it with Von. Go ahead. Give me a chance. And you get the job on the spot. Easy sell. Easy sell. We go to the afternoon show. Nick and Dustin on a future career for Nick.
I'll do just it, like meatloaf. I'll do anything to be healthy. But no, no, I won't do that. 216-578-0092. There should be a caravan to go to spring training, right?
Did you just quote meatloaf, like,
I
don't know.
Did. I did.
Okay,
I got that. I did, but I owned it. I put it up front. I said, like meatloaf, to paraphrase him. There should be a caravan going with these trucks, right?
Like
you know,
following the truck?
Well, yeah, like, you know how
like
when...
Like fans?
Yeah. Should be like get a couple RVs there. You should be able to tailgate on the way. Of course, not if you're driving. I'm just an idea man for Major League Baseball.
You can tailgate on the way if you're like driving in an RV.
Yeah, maybe
not while driving.
Yeah, and maybe like one of the giveaways.
But, like, your buddies.
Maybe the giveaways is Terry actually Tito drives your RV while you get really hammered on the drive. I think I just made $1 million there. That's $1 million idea, and baseball's just going to bleep it away.
I don't think anybody wants to drive to Goodyear, Arizona.
I would, but I could be a trucker.
Reason?
I could be a trucker.
Then why don't you go be a truck driver?
Because it doesn't...
You'd probably make more money.
I probably wouldn't be as happy, though.
You'd be in a truck all day.
Well, yeah, but that's what happens when radio, goes away. Like, truck driving's there for when this doesn't work out because I'm not good at it. That's what that's for.
What's the school you got to go to? DeVry?
Yeah. I'll do... You know what? If they want... Well, we'll do a crossover. I get my whatever class license I need,
yeah.
Do that on the side, and we can do a little read for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tito.
Tito. Did you go to DeVry?
I just looked up whether or not DeVry was actually for trucking school. I really don't think it is. I was like, I don't think that doesn't sound right at all to me. And now I regret that decision because I'm going to have a lot of DeVry ads for like the next, 75 months. I might as well throw my computer away in the trash right now. Every college in the country is going to be an ad for me now moving forward. Either way, I think Nick would have been a great truck driver. I think he would have been awesome at it. Long hours. He's good at that. He can put in a lot of time. You work really hard. Also, I think him being one with the road with his music, I just think it's perfect for him. He can just play whatever music he wants. He can have a lot of time to think. He'd call up sports radio stations. I don't think it's that bad of a gig for Nick. I think it'd work out really well. The radio thing's working out really well for him too. I think he'll be all right. Lastly, Nick with, and this is the reason why the radio thing is working out well. Nick made a point about LeBron I'd never considered before, and it takes a lot to make a point I'd never considered before when it comes to LeBron James. Here we go.
LeBron is such a guy who cares so much about vintage moments, right? They won the title. And I've always said, Cleveland, this is for you, was never for us. That was for Nike. That was for... Every advertising campaign, it was his clutching the Larry O'Brien trophy moment. That's what that was about. It literally had nothing. Winning the title was about Cleveland. Everything else was about marketing and making LeBron,
right.
Continuing to be the biggest star in the world. I think there's nothing bigger than LeBron playing Giannis, the best player in the basketball world right now. He had like 57 last night.
I told you guys, I love a good sports take for me is one that when someone says it, I go, dang it, I wish I would have thought of that myself. The Cleveland, this is for you, was not for us, it was for Nike, is something I'd never considered. And I doubt many of you had until right now either. I think, in my heart of hearts, that was for Cleveland fans. But when he said it, it was a shattered glass moment where I'm like, oh, yeah, he probably did think of that ahead of time. And he probably did have that all set and ready to go. And someone at Nike probably did really pitch him that line. Why don't we have a deep dive into how that line came to be? Probably because it happened in a Nike meeting and they thought this is going to be great branding moving forward. Yeah, LeBron does a lot of things very intentionally and he's very calculated. And that's a reason why he's now worth $1 billion because he thinks about these type of things. Down to when he wins a title, what's supposed to be a spur of the moment. And again, it's a spur of the moment as when Jim Nance calls a putt on the 18th of the Masters. He's thought of these things ahead of time. It's what you do. You don't ever leave that up to chance. But to have that moment... Before Nike, feel a little robbed. Just a little robbed, guys. Just a little bit. Not a lot. Just a little bit.